What's up with your box?
That's not mine.
Oh, well, how long has it been here?
Since before I got here. I don't know. It's not my problem.
Well, what is it?
It's a problem.
Oh, a problem.
Right.
Well, should I look at it?
Knock yourself out. But you might want to think about that.
Oh, why?
Well, like I said, that's a problem.
Well, whose problem is it?
I don't know. It was here before I got here.
Wait, so you don't know whose it is?
No, and honestly, I don't really care. I've got more important things to do.
Yeah, well, someone has to care. I mean, you can't just sit here forever. It's got to be someone's problem.
Why? Why does it have to be someone's problem? Just don't look at it. Pretend it's not even there. Hey, there is no problem.
What? That doesn't make any sense to me. Okay, wait, so what you're saying is it's not your problem.
Right.
And it's not my problem.
Yeah.
Then whose problem is it?
Sometimes I get pretty frustrated with myself. I have been following Christ for a while now. At least it feels that way. I have a pretty good idea of who God is as my Father. I know He created me. I know He loves me no matter what. And I understand how Jesus has redeemed me and become my Savior. But when it comes to the Holy Spirit, I have to honestly say, I have a lot of unanswered questions. It just doesn't seem to work for me. I look at other Christians, and they seem to know exactly who the Holy Spirit is. The only problem is that one person's image of the Holy Spirit looks completely different than the next person's. They seem to have it all figured out, but I have questions. I read in the Bible where Jesus says, "We will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on me." But I don't know that I have ever felt that power. Jesus said we would do greater things than He did, but I have never come close to raising someone from the dead. What does power mean? In the book of Acts, the people closest to Jesus heal people with their shadows. Should I be able to do that? Should I be able to tell when people are lying to me? What is this speaking in tongues thing, really? I have seen some people do things under the power of the Spirit that makes me think, I don't want that power. But maybe my concept of power is different from God's. Maybe the things the Holy Spirit gives me power for are not sensational. What if when Jesus said we would do greater things than Him, He was talking about the way we live our lives, the decisions we make, the words we speak? What if the Holy Spirit is so powerful that He is the source in every Christ follower, no matter how different that looks? What if the Holy Spirit gives me the power to decrease so that God can increase?
Thank you. Hey everyone, well welcome back to TRC Online. I am so glad that you are with us today on this great Sunday. Have a couple of things that we want to just remind you of. If this is your first time here, welcome. We're so glad that you're joining us. Please, if you're on YouTube, subscribe to it. If you're on Facebook, we want you to like what you're seeing and click that little thumbs up thing. Also, we want to engage with you. We welcome the comments. So please say hi to us online. If there's prayer requests, we want to hear those prayer requests. And so type them up. If you have a question or you want to engage in a conversation, please comment in those areas on Facebook or on YouTube. We want to engage and we want to hear about what's going on in your life. Pray with you if you have prayer requests, and answer the questions that you might have. So please comment, like, thumbs up, big hearts, big smiley faces, whatever it is. We want to have that engagement with you online. Also, if you are wanting to invest in the ministries of the River Church, we want to invite you to go to trcdurango.com and you can give on our website, or you can also give on our app, and you can find our app on any of the app stores by looking up The River Church Durango. You can give there. Or you can give simply by sending your tithe check to 860 Plymouth Drive, Durango, Colorado. So we want to just do whatever we can to continue the ministry that is happening here at the River Church. And we are so glad that you are with us this morning. Let me pray before we get into the worship this morning with Mark and Kristen and Andy. And then also Jill has an amazing message. So let me pray. God, we thank you for this morning and we are so excited for what you have in store for us. So we just come ready to receive all that you have. We love you and we praise you in your name. Amen. Amen. We'll stick around after the service and we'll wrap it up. Thanks for being here today.
Good morning, everybody. It's so good to be here worshiping today with all of you. Before we begin, I would just invite you to change your physical posture of your body. Stand up if you usually sit down. Move around a little bit so that your heart can be postured for worship. And let's just pray and join in together today. Father God, thank you. Thank you that you are always good, that you never change, and that you are always true. Thank you for the opportunity to be here and worship together, even with distance between us. We are still together in heart and mind, and we ask that unity would carry forward, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.
Hold your heart, what stirs your soul, what matters come to mind? The cares you keep, the thoughts you think, it's not all wasted time. Seek and you will find. Joy still comes in the morning. Hope still walks with the hurting. If you're still alive and breathing, praise the Lord. Don't stop dancing and dreaming. There's still good news worth repeating. So lift your head and keep singing, praise the Lord. The years roll by. We wonder why we lost our way from home. Our Father finds the child inside we left for growing old. Awake, 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 my soul. Joy still comes in the morning. Hope still walks with the hurting. If you're still alive, praise the Lord. Don't stop.
stop dancing and dreaming. There's still good news worth repeating. So lift your head and keep singing. Praise the Lord. Oh, we praise you, Lord. Oh, we praise the Lord. Let everything 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 praise the Lord. In the waiting, let it praise the Lord. In the blessing, in the breaking, come on, praise the Lord. In the dying, the rising, let it praise the Lord. Let it praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Joy still comes in the morning. Hope still walks with the hurting. If you're still alive and breathing, praise the Lord. Don't stop dancing and dreaming. There's still good news worth repeating. So lift your head and keep singing. Praise the Lord. Joy still comes. Joy still comes in the morning. Hope still walks with the hurting. If you're still alive and breathing, praise the Lord. Won't stop dancing and dreaming. There's still good news worth repeating. So lift your head and keep singing. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Father. You are good, Lord. We praise you. We do. Oh, God. Endlessly, Father God.
You were the Word at the beginning. One with God, the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you are Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us. So Jesus, you brought heaven. Sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. Oh. told you, the veil tore before you, you silenced the voice of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. You have no rival, you have no equal, now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name.
Message through your word, a greater power, a greater increase, a greater community activating across the nation, Father God. Thank you, Lord, for all you do and all you are and all you always have been. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. Happy Sunday. I kind of was very tempted when we were praying before this to like burst out in some kind of song and dance and really surprise you this morning, but I don't know if I have it in me quite yet, but maybe by the end of my message, I'll have stirred up enough joy that I can be expressive with it. But I get to talk to you this morning about joy. I get to continue our conversation about joy. And if you haven't listened, I recommend that you go back and you listen to both what Nick and Mark shared in the last couple weeks about their perspectives on joy. Definitely thought-provoking and really interesting, and about how the God prepares our hearts and how we can cultivate the soil of our hearts to receive and to help grow this gift of joy, this seed of joy that he's given us. Lots of things to think about and reflect on. But I want to pivot a little bit. And I want to talk to you a little bit more about returning to joy, as well as discovering this joy that each one of us has inside of us. So I'm going to start with James 1:2, verse 2, from the Passion Translation, of course. And this is what it says. And this has got to be one of my favorite translations of this verse, because I think we've heard it all in the consider it all joy, my brothers, blah, 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 blah. But when you hear it in this, I want you to hear it with some fresh eyes and some fresh understanding. It says, my fellow believers, when it seems as though you are feeling nothing but difficulties, see it as an invaluable opportunity to experience the greatest joy that you can. What strikes me is that it's that the difficulties that we find ourselves in, we can see it as an invaluable opportunity to experience the greatest joy that you can. And so I want to help us seize this time of difficulty and see it as this invaluable opportunity to experience the greatest joy. So when we do what Mark and Nick have both talked about cultivating this, I want to add to that and show you how we tap into it. How do we get to it? So there is an evangelist named Billy Sunday. He said, if you have no joy, there's a leak in your Christianity somewhere. And I thought that was epic. There is a leak somewhere in our Christianity. And so what I want to do today is try to find the leak and plug it so that the joy will come forward, come overflowing, and not just leak out somewhere. So the first thing I want to share with you is an overview of what joy is, because I think sometimes our world has watered it down. You know, there's a whole show where she goes in and says, does this spark joy? Does this spark joy? And I think we've watered down what this joy is, because things should not spark joy in our life. It is people. It is God that sparks the joy. It is this this inside job. So I want to talk about this. Joy is not dependent on your circumstances. Joy is not something that we get from where we are at, which is why the Bible says that when you're facing nothing but difficulties, it's an opportunity to experience the greatest joy. It's very countercultural to us. John Piper says that joy is not an idea, it's not a conviction, and it's not a persuasion or a decision. It cannot be produced under my own power. I can't just snap my fingers and decide to feel something like joy. Joy is beyond that. It is an emotion, but it isn't something that we just conjure up with the snap of our fingers. What it is that joy is this soul emotion. It's a deep emotion. Our bodies might experience the effects of this, all right? And this might be what you're thinking of, is the effects of joy, because you might think of, when you're thinking of joy, it's butterflies in your stomach, or like a lightness in your attitude, or sometimes even tears, because you can have tears of joy at weddings and big celebrations. But that in and of itself is not the definition of joy. Joy and its effects are totally different, and they're separate. So today I am sharing with you a lot of thoughts from my friend Anne Sloan. So I'm just going to say she's my friend. I'll briefly mention that she's Andy's mom as well. Pastor Andy, it's his mom. But I'll just claim her as my friend. And I call her the joy expert. Andy calls her Captain Joy, which I think is also an epic thing. But Anne Sloan has spent years actually studying joy. And she wrote a huge thesis paper that I didn't get through the entire thing, but I read a lot of it in my research for joy, because she has spent so much time gleaning from lots of sources. So I just want you to know, and I did kind of warn her that this was going to happen, is that I'm going to steal a lot of stuff that she brought forward, because it's so good, and because she already did a lot of the hard work, and I just get to glean from it. So lucky me. But I'm so grateful for the time that she spent, and Andy actually shared with me today that she's passionate about it, and because it's something that she needs and she wants. And I have to say that that's absolutely the same for me, is that I would love to know more about joy, because it's something that I need and it's something that I want. And I believe that when we tap into it, it can be life-changing. It is life-changing. So just know that anything brilliant that you hear coming out of my mouth for the next little bit is going to be coming from Anne Sloan as well. So the Greek word for joy is chara. And it has the same root word as the Greek word for grace, which is charis. And so one of the things that she talked about is that joy becomes our response to grace. And this really struck with me because the definition that she expanded on for a good translation of grace is special. So then, therefore, joy is the response to being the really special one. And that is such a beautiful picture to me, to respond to this place of knowing and experiencing that we are God's special one, specifically God's special one, that our joy comes from knowing and believing and experiencing and truly knowing deep inside that we are God's special one. Joy comes when we are truly ourselves. And when we are with God, we do have the freedom to be truly ourselves. And we can experience joy in that because it feels like a rare thing to be truly ourselves and to know that we are fully loved and fully accepted and fully God's special one. And that brings joy. Joy is the heart of the relationship of the Trinity. When you think of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, joy is in the midst of this because joy is response to our recognition of love and our relationship. And the Trinity is all about love and relationship. And so joy is the center emotion, the center deep soul emotion for life. It's central to our life. And this is something that we as a Big C church, we as a culture have forgotten because it's been so watered down with what the world says. What brings you joy? And all we can attribute that to is happiness. And all we can understand that is if my circumstances are good, then I have joy. But the reality is that it's so much more than that. So much more than that. It's so much deeper than that because it's a response to being fully yourself in love with someone, with the Father, with our relationships. And it's this response to this special favor. So according to Scripture, and I'm only going to share a few of the things that Scripture talks about, but according to Scripture, and there's a lot, joy is our strength through trial and suffering. Joy follows our mourning. Joy is found in the face of God. Joy is our direct response. It's our response to the love of God, to the grace of God, to the favor of God. And God created us for joy. In his joy, he created us. Because of this love and grace and favor and relationship, we were created. So we are created to experience this joy. Our source of joy is ultimately God. And that's where everything starts, is the source of everything. But we also give and receive this joy, this deep soul emotion in our relationship with others. That's why what Mark shared last week about giving and serving others, that's why that brings us joy, because it's about there's something in that relationship that we give and we receive joy. And it's the fruit of our connection, the fruit of our connection with God and with others. So we love as a response to joy, and our joy is a response to the grace, to being the really special one. And I feel like this is why comparison is such a trap, because when we start to look at other people, then we don't feel like the really special one anymore. We start to get distracted and feel like, well, they must be the really special one. So when they say that comparison is the thief of joy, it absolutely is, because it takes off, it removes our focus from God and the favor and the specialness that he's created in us, and it puts it on other people, and it just steals our joy. So I want to tell you why we need joy. Besides all of those other wonderful things, there is something very physical that joy does for our bodies. And according to Anne in her research, I want to tell you a bunch of things that joy does in our lives, in our bodies, in our physical beings. First of all, it's contagious and transforming. So joy is actually more contagious than this virus. Joy is more contagious than fear. Joy is transforming. And joy helps our brain grow. Okay, we all need a little brain growth. Joy reduces stress. This is what I need. Joy reduces our stress. It improves our immune system. Hello, perfect opportunity to spread a little bit more joy to boost our immune system. Joy improves our marriages. It enables us to grow in loving relationships with others. And it's essential for healing our relationships. Joy produces this high energy state for our brains, and it builds strength and the capacity to engage life and energy and creativity and endurance. Joy does this. Joy is a key motivation in our life. Joy enables us to build resilience, to come back from hard things. And joy enables us to suffer and withstand pain. And I feel like that's such an interesting perspective, that joy enables us to suffer and withstand pain. According to Anne, joy and our joy center and our pain and suffering, it's all in the same part of our brain. And so they're deeply connected. This is why people who are going through such hard things, hard trials, can still experience joy, because they are interconnected often. And Andy, I was thinking about Andy as I was preparing this. He's always talking about raising the joy level. And there's good reason, because joy does all of these things, and it isn't based in any of our circumstances. It really, truly comes from this knowing that we are God's special one, that we are loved for completely who we are, this grace, and grace is what we are given that we don't deserve. And it's just sitting there and knowing that we have the grace and the love and the favor of God, and that just connects with us on a deep level that brings forth this joy. And some people can express it by being exuberant and excited and out there, but at others it's just a quiet peace, because joy leads to peace. And if you think about it, in Galatians 5:22, it's the fruit of the Spirit. Excuse me, and he talks about the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace, and those things are all very connected, and they blend into each other. And so our joy also leads to our peace. And all of this comes in the fruit of the relationship with the Spirit of God that lives in us. So I want to ask you, has your joy leaked? Is it missing? So, and how do we return to joy? And that's what I want to focus on for the rest of this, is how do we return to this joy? Because according to Scripture, when we have the Spirit of God in us, the fruit of the Spirit of God is love and joy and peace and all of the other ones, but joy is up there. And so if we're not experiencing joy, why? If it's in there, why isn't it coming out? If it's in there, why aren't we feeling it and experiencing it? And first of all, I want to say that if you have the Spirit of God living inside of you, then the joy is there. It is already there. And as Nick and Mark both preached on, there's a lot to do with how we are cultivating it, how we are preparing the soil, how we are nurturing that seed of joy that God's planted on us. We might need it to be uncovered, or we might need to discover that it's there, but it is there. The seed's been planted, as Nick shared. And the soil needs to be cultivated, like Mark shared. And it made me think of the song, "I've Got the Joy, 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 Joy Down in My Heart." So if you wonder, where is the joy, 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 just remember that it's down in your heart. That it's, I'm not going to sing it for you, but it's down there, this joy. And if you have a relationship with God, and if you have the Spirit of God in you, then you have the joy of the Lord in you already. You don't have to, and you can't actually manufacture it. You can't make it happen. You can't produce it under your own strength and power. It truly is the joy of the Lord in us. And if you do not have a relationship with God, then there is no other time but now that you can do it. There's no better time than now that you can do it. You can invite him into your heart, because he wants to have relationship with you. He wants to bring you joy. He wants to plant the seed of joy in your heart for it to grow. And it means surrendering your heart to his lordship. It means surrendering yourself to his lordship. But he's inviting you to come into your life, inviting you to invite him to come into your life. And when God moves into our life, When he moves in, literally moves in, he brings love and joy and peace and patience, and he wants to be with you. And he brings himself, which is the greatest gift. So now that we know that the joy is there, and that truly comes from faith, our faith is that the joy is already there. So you might be wondering, well, then why am I not experiencing it? Well, first thing is that we have the faith that it's there, that it doesn't need to depend on our body's reaction to it. We don't need to be waiting for this outward expression of joy. We can have faith knowing that it's in there. And if you remember what I shared at the beginning, it's not dependent on the exuberant expression of it. It really is about faith and knowing that it's in there. And it's this soul emotion that our body can have a reaction to, but like everything else in our relationship with God, there's faith involved and faith required. Receiving his forgiveness, receiving his peace, receiving his joy, all of that requires our faith in him and who he is and knowing who he is. The second thing is we need to identify if we're trying to find joy in other things outside of God, if he is not the source of our joy. And if he's not the source of our joy, then we're being idolatrous because we are placing that on and that responsibility on something else that is not an infinite well. But God is the one. And we can't, like I said before, we can't produce our own joy, and we can't expect another person or a situation to give us that joy. We can only believe and have faith and trust in God being our joy. So we can find joy in other people, but it has to come from the overflow of his spirit. Because it's the fruit that comes and is produced by abiding and living in Christ and getting our nourishment from him alone. And the third thing is that we need to look to see if we have difficult emotions that are blocking the joy from overflowing. So this is something that God's been showing me very specifically recently, that I don't say bad emotions because they're not bad. All emotion is from God, but there are definitely emotions that are more difficult. Okay, and for me, those difficult emotions are things like anger and sadness and pain and those kinds of emotions that we can actually block the joy from overflowing. And I want to show you a demonstration of this. All right, so here's my little lesson for you. If you like salad, and this is the best salad dressing, of course, but this is my demonstration of this. This is oil and this is vinegar. And after it sits for a long time, of course, there's the separation. So I want to show you that in this, the vinegar is joy, and the oil is all of the difficult emotions that I was talking about. And so when it's there, it is blocking the joy from overflowing and coming out. And so, and you've probably been around people like this, okay? So watch, when you pour it out. So this is your heart, this is your life, this is your joy separated with all of the difficult emotions on top. And when you, when people who are locked into this, they're experiencing this, and they start to pour it out, what is the only thing that comes out? Is all of those difficult emotions. And so there's Christians, have you ever heard that? Like there's joy in your heart, but bring it to your face. Because there's joy in there somewhere, but your face does not say joy. And I think it's because these difficult emotions are all that becomes pouring out of us. And so the Lord showed me that by not processing in a healthy way those difficult emotions, I'm actually stopping the joy from coming out of my life. I am blocking the joy from an experience, from giving and receiving this joy from him and from those that I'm in relationship to. And so he says, I need you to keep pouring out this, but in a good way. And I need you to keep pouring out these difficult emotions. And then as soon as it continues to come out, then you get more joy. That the joy becomes the overflow. And he says, and then you process these emotions with me. You process them with God first, because he is the source of our joy. So he is also the source that we can go to and say, Lord, I'm struggling right now. I'm having a hard time. I'm angry. I'm sad. I'm frustrated with how our world is. None of those things are wrong. But if they're not processed, then they actually block the joy that he wants to bring forward. I actually sat with Mark last week and I processed some hard emotions with him, and it did unlock some joy in my heart by just being able to process that with him, not putting him on him and saying, you are responsible for all of this, but being able to say, I'm actually really sad about this. I'm actually really hurt about this. And it unlocked and unblocked some of the joy that I had stuck, that I had stamped down in my heart. And so as we release those things, as we process them, then we unlock and open up the ability to give and receive joy to a greater degree than we've ever had. And that's why it's so closely intertwined with the difficult and the trial and the suffering. Because as we pour that out and as we go to him in that, then we receive his oil of gladness, his joy is returned to us. I want to leave with you with three things, the practically returning to joy. How do we practically do this? And they are from Anne's paper. In fact, they were things that she reiterated to me saying, this is so important. And I agree with her, because we all need, at least I do, like tools of what does this actually look like? How do I uncover this? How do I uncover the joy in my life? And she talks about something called joy journaling. And there's three parts to it, and those are in my notes, so you can refer back to it on the app. If you go under sermon notes, all of this is going to be there, and you'll be able to walk through this process if you want to. But the three points of journaling are, one is gratitude. So it's sitting with the Lord and journaling, and it's important to not just think it, but to write it out and actually process it. And she said that the other key is to sit and then wait for God's response to our gratitude. So as we say, God, I thank you for giving me life. And then we sit and we wait for his response. And when I did this, he said, I delight in you. I delight in your life. And it brings me joy to give you life and to see you live this life to the full. And that sparks joy in us, knowing that God receives our gratitude, and actually it brings him joy when we are grateful for what he's done and who he is, and we are receiving that special favor. The second part is appreciation. And this isn't just, hey, thanks for doing that. Thanks for bringing me coffee, or thanks for saying that nice thing. But what appreciation is gratitude that's gift wrapped. It's saying, beyond thanks, it's I not only am I thanks for bringing me coffee, but I so appreciate your servant heart and the way that you love me. Thank you for taking that extra step. I really appreciate you. It is seeing a person, and it activates this relational connection with somebody, and it sparks joy in us and in others, because we are showing that we see them and that we love them and we receive them and the gift of who they are. And the last thing is to remember joy. So it's gratitude and waiting for God's response. It's appreciation. It's gift wrapping your thanks. And it is remembering joy. And remembering joy is recalling the previous joys in your life and remembering everything that you can about them, remembering how you felt, remembering all the circumstances that surrounded that occasion or that moment. And sometimes it's really hard to start doing that, because all we can think of is all the bad things. But if you give it enough time, you can sit and recall some serious joys in your life. And this is why it's fun to sit with your family and reminisce. Say, remember that time when we went camping? Or you remember that time when we did this? And do you remember that wedding? Or do you remember that whatever? And we are sparking joy in each one of us in our relationship, because we're recalling a really special memory that God's given us. And the more that we do these things, the more that we journal gratitude and appreciation, and we reminisce and we remember the joyful things, the more we are uncovering and releasing the joy that's in our hearts. The more that we get to encounter and experience that with other people. I was just on a call this morning, and it sparked so much joy in me just connecting with other people, and it is something that we are created for. I want to leave you with this last thing that also came out of some time with some people this week, is that isolation can feel really negative and make you feel really alone. And as I've just shared, joy comes from relationship. Joy comes from relationship with God and relationship with others. And all we hear right now is about being isolated and alone. But I want to change the narrative. And I want us to start about how God has invited us into solitude. He's invited us into solitude to be with him and to choose to be alone with God, choose to receive the special favor that he has for us. And then what this does is that it sparks this joy so that when we choose to be in community with others, it releases that joy and it becomes infectious. So I hope and pray that I have sparked a little bit of joy in your hearts as you've been listening to this, and that you would allow God to cultivate it. And check back in on the notes to walk through this and just try it for even a week and see if it changes this deep emotion inside of you that you can infect the world with. So I want to pray for you, and I appreciate you being here. I appreciate the time that it took for you to sit and listen and be a part of this today. So Lord, I am so grateful. I'm grateful for what you are doing in this place. I'm grateful for the way that you're changing our hearts and our minds. May we be ready and willing to receive and hear and be transformed by your joy, by your presence. Lord, thank you that you created me for joy. Lord, I want to tap into that. Help me to see, help me to know, help me to receive. Receive what you have already given me. Lord, I'm grateful that you've thought of all of the details. And thank you that all I have to do is just be with you, abide with you. I love you, and we pray for infectious joy to be spread in our community and our world. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, well, that's it for us on our end. I'm so grateful that you guys joined us today for church. Hey, just want to finish up with a couple of things. You know, if there are still things that you want to have a conversation about or that you need prayer for, please comment in the appropriate areas on YouTube and Facebook Live. We want to hear from you and we want to respond back to you. Also, if you need to talk to a live person, we want to invite you to call us at 970-247-7777. Leave a message and we'll call you back. We want to pray with you. We want to talk to you. We want to engage in conversation. I mean, we miss you guys. And we want to, as soon as we can, reopen the building so that we can get back to doing church together as a family. Finally, if you want to give your life to the Lord, again, comment, call. We want to pray with you and have that conversation. We're so glad that you have joined us today at church, and we want to continue to grow in relationship with one another. So thanks for being with us at TRC Online today. Have a great day and enjoy the rest of the week. God bless.